Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we begin a sermon series on some of the best friends you've never seen. They are called angels. Angels are real. The Bible makes that very clear. And the Bible has a lot, I mean a lot to say about angels. I think it's important for you to hear from God's own word, what he says about angels, about their nature, their purpose, and the role that they play in all of our lives. Today, we're going to start with the basics of angels, mainly answering two questions. What are angels and what do angels do? So let's start with what are angels. 4 points here. Number one, angels are spirit beings. Hebrews 1:14, are not all angels ministering spirits? They are not flesh and blood like human beings are. They are spirit beings. From what we see in scripture, God created three types of creatures. He created animals, which are pure flesh and blood. He created angels, which are pure spirit. And he created humans. We are a mix of both. We have a lot in common with animals having flesh and blood bodies. We also have a lot in common with angels because we have a spirit, a soul. We are unique in God's creation. We have one foot in the animal world and one foot in the spirit world. We have one foot in time and one foot in eternity. So, humans are unique. Angels, however, can look like humans. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:2 that we should show hospitality to strangers because by doing so, some have entertained angels without being aware of it. But although they look like humans, they're not humans. They're totally different types of creatures. When we die, we don't become angels. We are now and forever human in both body and spirit. Cats are cats, dogs are dogs, humans are humans, and angels are angels, pure spirit beings. Number two, angels are created by God. In the first century, when the New Testament was written, there seemed to be a fascination with angels, and there were some who thought that Jesus, the Son of God, was an angel. Hebrews 1, our epistle lesson today, and Colossians 1 tells us that Jesus is not an angel. He is God in the flesh, the creator of the angels, and is in every way superior to them. Colossians 1, verse 16 says, "For by him, Jesus, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him." So, Jesus is the creator of all things, both that which is visible and invisible. And that includes thrones, powers, rulers, and authorities. Those are different types of angels. The difference between those types or ranks of angels, I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But I do know this, Jesus created them all. And because of that, he is superior to them. Because he is far more than an angel, he is God. God Almighty. Unlike the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, angels are not eternal. There was a time before creation when angels did not exist. God created angels sometime during the 6 days of creation. He doesn't tell us when. But Genesis 2 tells us that after 6 days, the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them, which would include everything that populated the universe, the animals, the humans, and the heavenly host, the angels. At that time, the full number of angels were created. How many angels were there? Glad you asked that. That's number three. Number three, angels are numerous. "Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. Revelation 5, verse 11. How many angels are there? In technical terms, a whole bunch. I mean, there are a lot of angels. Now, we don't know for sure. Revelation tells us that there is myriad upon myriad. A myriad is 10,000. 10,000 times 10,000 angels around God's throne, which if you do the math is 100 million. 100 million angels in all their glory singing around the throne of God. What a spectacular and glorious sight that's going to be. Now, I don't think that's an exact number. I think it means there's an uncountable number of angels. But 100 million gets the idea across. There are an overwhelming, uncountable, huge number of angels that God has created. How many angels are there? A whole bunch. And number four, what is an angel? Well, Angels are spirit beings. Angels are created by God. Angels are numerous. And number four, angels are powerful. Really powerful. Again, overwhelmingly powerful by human standards. There's many Bible verses and stories I could point to about this, but my favorite is 2 Kings 19. But before we get to that Bible verse, I want to show you this clay tablet called Sennacherib's Prism. This clay tablet was discovered in 1830 in the ruins of Nineveh, the old capital of the Assyrian Empire, and it was hoped that this would solve a mystery, because in 722 BC, as the Bible and secular history tells us, the powerful Assyrian army conquered and destroyed the northern kingdom of Israel, the 10 tribes. Those 10 tribes were completely wiped out and disappeared from history. About 700 BC, Assyria under Sennacherib invades Judah, the southern kingdom, presumably to do to Judah what they had done to the northern kingdom, which has completely wiped them out from the map and from the face of history. Assyria conquered all of the fortified cities of Judah and marched down the capital of Jerusalem, laid siege to it, but then, for some reason, mysteriously retreated back to Nineveh. Now, historians ask, what happened? Why did they turn around? Why didn't they finish the job? They obviously had the ability to destroy and conquer Jerusalem, but they did not. And that's where this prism came in. It was discovered in 1830, and it was hoped it would answer that mystery. These are the words of Sennacherib himself, the king of Judah. It's called the Annals of Sennacherib. And he brags exactly about what the Bible describes, conquering the 46 fortified cities of Judah. And then it says that he trapped King Hezekiah, king of Judah, like a caged bird. He was completely helpless against him. And then, for no particular reason, he decided to go back to Nineveh. Why in the world did he do that? It doesn't answer the question again. Why you've got him on the ropes, why did he not finish Judah off? The Bible tells us in 2 Kings 19. This is not included in the annals of Sennacherib, and you'll understand why. When Assyria's huge army was besieging Jerusalem, Hezekiah, king of Judah, prayed to the Lord God to spare his people. Isaiah the prophet came to Hezekiah and said, "The Lord has heard your prayer. Help is on the way." In answer to Hezekiah's prayer, God didn't send 10,000 angels. He didn't send 12 legions of angels. God didn't send 12 angels. In answer to Hezekiah's prayer, God sent one angel. And here's what 2 Kings 19 tells us. That night, the angel of the Lord went out and put to death 185,000 men in the Assyrian camp. When the people got up the next morning, there were all the dead bodies. One, just one of God's angels destroyed the most powerful human army of its time, the formerly invincible Assyrian army. And I love what the Bible tells us Sennacherib then did, because now we know. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, broke camp and withdrew. He returned to Nineveh and stayed there. 2 Kings 19, 35 and 36. I don't think that was a difficult decision. I bet Sennacherib couldn't wait to get out of there. He wakes up and 185,000 of his men are dead. He ran so fast all the way back home to Nineveh and stayed there. And he would not attack Jerusalem again. That's the power of one angel. So, angels are spirits created by God. They are numerous and they are powerful. But what did God make them for? What do angels do? Well, number one, they worship God. Again, 4 points. Number one, they worship God. Isaiah 6, 2 through 3 describes Isaiah's vision of heaven. Above the Lord were seraphs, each with 6 wings, and they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." And he sees those seraphim constantly flying around the throne of God, singing his praises. They sing so loudly, they shake the very foundations of heaven itself. And what do they sing? Well, you know the words, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, heaven and earth are full of your glory." We sing that in our worship service right before communion with angels and with archangels and with all the company of heaven. And we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing, right? "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." If we're going to praise God, the best people we can learn how to praise God from are the angels themselves. And this is the song the angels are singing around God's throne right now. We sing Holy, Holy, Holy as part of our worship service just for that reason. We also many times sing Glory to God in the Highest, another hymn of the angels, which they sang at Christmas time. Every time we gather in worship, we're joining our songs and praises with the songs of the angels. You can't have a better example of worship than God's holy angels. So first of all, what do angels do? They worship God. Number two, they serve God. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Psalm 103, verse 20. Angels are mighty and powerful, but they don't serve themselves. They serve the Lord. They do his will. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done. We're praying that we would be like the angels of heaven, constantly doing the will of the Lord. Now, sometimes God's will is to send them as messengers. In fact, the word angelos, a Greek word, means messenger. Gabriel was sent by God to give a special message to Mary that she would be the mother of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. It is the angels who preach the first Easter sermon. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Angels serve the Lord by bringing messages from God to his people. Angels worship God. They serve God. Number three, they protect God's people. Matthew 18, verse 10, the words of Jesus himself. See that you do not look down on one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. Jesus lets us know that God's angels are always with us and that they have a personal relationship with us. Their angels in heaven, that's a personal pronoun, right? That's where we get the concept of guardian angels from. God's angels do protect us physically, especially from the evil angels who would do us harm. But you might say, well, if the angels are protecting us, why is it that all of us then experience pain and suffering in our life, which we all do? Well, you have to understand the devil also is an angel. He's an evil angel, also known as demons, which means he is also incredibly powerful and somewhat or close to equal in power with the holy angels. The devil is incredibly powerful, as are all of his minions, the other evil angels we call demons. And they hate each one of us with a passion. The question to ask is not why do bad things happen to us? The question to ask is why aren't horrible things happening to us all the time? If you want to know what life would be like without the protection of God's holy angels, all you need to do is read Job chapters 1 and 2. Read what Satan does to Job when God takes away his constant 24 hours a day, 7 days a week protection for even just a little while. Satan destroys Job's crops, his wealth, his buildings, his family, his health, everything he can get his hands on. If he could have destroyed Job, he would have. Satan is powerful, evil, and he hates us, and he would certainly destroy us if it wasn't for the constant protection of God's holy angels. Number four, angels serve God's people. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Hebrews 1:14. Number four, angels serve God's people. Angels are ministering spirits. The word minister means servant. God sent them to serve us, those who will inherit salvation. Now, that seems backwards, especially from the world's way of thinking. In the world, those who are strong and mighty rule over those who are weaker. But that's not how it works in God's kingdom. It's just the opposite. In God's kingdom, the mighty and the strong serve the weak. Angels are far more powerful than we are, but they use their power not to lord it over us, but to serve. They're constantly serving and helping us in more ways than we know. And in that way, they reflect the one whom the angels worship, the one whom we worship, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, as I said before, and as Hebrews 1 and Colossians 1 makes clear, is our superior to any angel. He is God, God in the flesh. And as such, he is worthy of our worship, our glory, and our praise. But he didn't come to earth to rule. He came to serve. He became a servant, the servant of all people, and gave his life to save us from sin, death, and that evil angel, the devil. Mark 10:45, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.